And if you come to church, you ought to have a Bible. And when I say a Bible, it ought to be a King James 1611 authorized version. No Mickey Mouse, no comic books. Get the real deal. Little book of Jude, 25 verses. Little book of Jude, the general theme of Jude is apostasy, falling away. An apostate is a person who had a position and then for some reason moved from that position to another. Apostasy in religious circles has a much deeper meaning than that. And it means to apostatize from the faith, to no longer be a believer. But we don't want to deal with the apostasy this morning. I want to call your attention down to verse 23. And for time's sake, we will just read that one. And it said, "And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need your power. We need your wisdom. And Lord, we lean on thee this morning, trust thee, realize our insufficiency and our inability. We ask you to make up the difference where we fall short and where we fail. If you would supply, we would be grateful and thankful for that. And may the people assemble here this morning, may the Word of God lodge in their heart, and may the Spirit of God add His blessing, that our time together will be profitable and beneficial, and that we will leave here bettered from the experience. Help us in some way to say something that will glorify thee, lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a program on the TV set now. Good morning, Brother Rick. I guess it's been on there a couple years. I don't know. I've never seen it, never watched it. But I was at Blockbuster the other day, and they've got this section where they have all these programs that are on television. I never watched any of them, so I don't know what they are. But they got this one program that's called Heroes. And I just assume that it's about what you would normally think of. Heroes. That's somebody who steps into a situation and puts themselves at risk in some way or another, financially or physically or whatever, to help somebody else out. And I saw the thing, I got to thinking, well, I know some heroes. I spent 20 years in the Navy. Went to Vietnam twice. I know some real flesh and blood, honest to goodness, dyed in the wool, certifiable heroes. And of course, everybody likes a hero. And the word kind of gets overused anymore. And it's been nominalized to a certain extent. Because now if you listen to them guys on WBT, for example, every policeman's a hero. Every cop is a hero. Every soldier's a hero. And I'm here to tell you that just ain't so. Amen. You're only a hero if and when you do something heroic. Okay? And putting on a uniform don't make a hero. It does give you the potential to become one, though. Amen. Now, so I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled Heroes. That is what I wrote down, isn't it? Okay. I had three or four titles and I couldn't remember which one I finally used. But anyway, I want to talk to you about heroes. I've always wanted to be a hero and I never have been. And of course, now the older I get, the less interested I am. I want you to understand that. That hero thing is for young guys, where you save the fair maiden from the burning building and or whatever it is, you know. You got to be young and strong and stupid to want to play that role. And the older and wiser I become, the less hero-oriented I am. Now, I do like to retain the idea that I still possess the ability. And should the occasion arise, I would arise to the occasion. But I'm less desirous of seeing that come to pass. Amen. But heroes always spark our imagination. They stir us. And heroes are good. for all kinds of situations. In World War II, Russia was being invaded, and their cities were burned. The Germans were marching, and the morale was low, and so they needed a hero. And in Russian folklore now, they have a sharpshooter, a young fella from the Urals that came forward and was a sniper for the Russians and wreaked havoc on the Germans, especially their German officer corps. And of course, they blew him up and made him bigger than life, and it helped the morale of the Russian army, and it really did kind of turn the tide of battle in their favor. It gave them something to rally around. And so a hero there was almost a necessity for national victory. Now, if you look down through time, every generation's had its heroes. Every generation needs a hero. Every nation needs a hero. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about heroes. I like to read stories where there's a real hero. And I don't like for the bad guy to be the hero. They've got this thing on TV now where there's an ex-serial killer, whatever that is. Now, if you've ever wanted to investigate figments of people's imagination, an ex-serial killer looks like a great figment of somebody's imagination. But this guy's the hero of the show. It just burns me up. No serial killer, I don't care how ex he is, should ever be a hero. Amen. That's not the kind of people we need to hold up to our young people as an example. A serial killer is a serial killer. That's like saying he's an ex-pedophile. Ex-pedophiles only exist when they're deceased. I don't believe you fix them. I don't believe you correct them. I don't believe you straighten them out. I think there's something missing in them that can't be fixed. The part is gone. It's non-repairable. The only thing you can do to a pedophile is just put a bullet right between his ears. Somebody say amen, and that'll take care of that problem. So I think you ought to be careful about the kind of heroes you have. But I like a story about a real hero. I read a thing in Reader's Digest. They have a lot of hero stories, and I snip them out from time to time. And there was a story in there. This lady and her little girl were going down the highway in some large city. If I remember right, it was either Baltimore or someplace right in that area. And tire blew out. Car swerved. She swerved over in front of a tanker truck. Their car flipped upside down. The tanker truck ran across the top of the car. I mean, it was just a horrendous mess. But in the process, some piece of sharp metal punctured the tank into the fuel in the tanker truck. And it was leaking out, and it leaked down on a hot manifold or something, and it ignited. But the way the car was turned, it was kind of making the fuel puddle up on the back side. Now, the little girl and the mother were trapped inside. The mother managed to get a window kicked out and got herself and the little girl out and got them pulled around on the back side of the car. And the fuel was puddling up on this side. The wind was blowing, and that stuff was just turning a blue blaze. And the fuel, of course, was dripping out, and the deeper it was starting to come around the ends of the car. And the police got there, and this young patrolman could see the situation. And the mother, in a desperate effort to protect her child, they couldn't get out. They were trapped under there. The mother put the little girl up against the car, then put her body behind her, and wrapped herself around the little girl so that when the fuel came around, it would roast her and keep the fuel off of her little daughter. So the cop is back there, and he's trying to figure out some way to get in there. And it's a raging inferno. And there's just this little hole. It's a freak of nature. There's a hole in there where these two people are. He can't find any way to get in. the fuel is getting deeper and the flame is now beginning to reach up, and it has got to the mother, and her whole backside from her feet to the top of her head are now ablaze. And in just a few minutes, she'll be consumed and the fuel will leak past her and the little girl will be burned. This cop saw what was going on, could hear the screams of the little girl, knew she was still alive, grabbed a fire suit off of the back of a truck, put it on himself, put on the helmet, doused himself with flame or with water, and jumped through the flame into that little open pocket, pulled the body of the mother out of the way, grabbed the little girl in his arms, held her up to him, and dashed back through the fire and saved the little girl. That guy's a hero. That guy is a genuine, certifiable hero. He risked everything to save that little girl. He did it against all odds. He did it when nobody else would do it. He did it when it was a sure, there's one chance in a million of getting in there and getting out alive. But he hazarded everything in a heroic effort to deliver this little girl and give her her shot at life. I like stories like that. Amen. I read a story in some magazine somewhere some years ago. I usually tear them things out, you know, a little file, I stick them in. And I can't remember what magazine it was, but this man and his wife and their two little babies were going to see her parents. Now, this is up in South Dakota somewhere, and they have some 30, 40 degree below zero weather. They have some awful winds. The wind chill factor sometimes pushes the temperatures down to minus 60 and 70. They have feet and feet and feet and feet of snow up there in the wintertime. Why anybody wants to live there, I cannot figure out. Amen. But anyway, folks do. However, remember this, it is sparsely populated. Which just shows that not everybody is nuts. So this guy, they leave and they run into a blizzard. And it's a lot worse than it had been forecast to be. And someplace out there, they're in whiteout conditions and the guy loses the road and wanders off, and finally they just get bogged down in the snow and the car just won't go anymore. It is horribly cold. The wind is blowing. And so this man, his wife, and these two little children are trapped in this car in this blizzard, and they don't know where they're at. They don't know exactly how far it is to the next house or the next town. They're in a terrible situation. He checks and he's got over 3/4 of a tank of gasoline. So they huddle together, and he had a little pocket thermometer, a little mercury thermometer in his car. And so what they would do, they would wait till the temperature in the car got to 38 degrees. I don't know why he picked 38, but he picked 38. So they would sit there until the car got down to 38 degrees. Then they would crank the engine and turn the heater on and let it get back up to about 45. Then he would shut it off. He was trying to conserve the fuel until the storm was over. The next day, the storm does blow over, and they're alive, and they're reasonably comfortable. They don't have any water. They don't have any food. They were not prepared for blizzard. They don't know where they're at. But the man figures, the best he can, they should only be a couple or a few miles from a little village, a little town. He knows that the two babies can't make it, and he knows that they can't make it carrying the two babies. So this guy, and he tells his wife, he said, now, close the door, roll up the windows, keep the babies close, use all the blankets and extra clothing, stay as warm as you can. When the thermometer gets down to 38, crank the engine, let it get up to 45, and shut it off, and then y'all bundle up until the temperature comes down. Of course, it will stay warmer in the car longer in the daytime, and of course it'll cool off quicker in the evening, but just keep it in that temperature range, and that'll prevent frostbite and hypothermia. You can live in that temperature range. Uncomfortable, unpleasant, but you can survive. I will get out and trudge through the snow to find the village or the little town, whatever, and get help to come back. This is in the days before cell phones. So they agree. So he gets out, he kisses his babies bye, kisses his wife bye, and he gets out, he closes the door, he walks away and he waves at his family. He's freezing to death. It is unbearably cold. It's well below zero. The wind is still pretty brisk. He takes his bearings as best he can and he begins to plod along. He walked all that day. He walked all that night. He walked most of the day the next day, and finally he sees a little sign that there's a little village just a mile or two away. There is no traffic. There is no power. He has seen no houses. They're out in the great wide open spaces of those states out there. And so he plods along, but it is so cold and he is so ill clothed that his feet have turned black and his fingers are turning black. This fellow suffered frostbite on both hands and both feet. His feet were bleeding. The skin was so cold that it had frozen, and when he put his weight on it, it would crack the skin and ooze black blood. But he kept on. All he could think about was his wife and his children were dependent on him. His wife and his children were counting on him. If he didn't get through, they would surely die. And so this guy marched on, and he marched on, and he marched on, and finally he staggered into a little service station, a little restaurant place, and collapsed. But he managed to tell them about his family. And of course they launched the rescue squad. He got back, they found his family, cold, hungry, miserable, but healthy. The man lost all of his fingers, and he lost both of his feet to frostbite. But he saved his family. That guy is a hero. That guy's a hero. That was a totally selfless act. That man had somebody, something that he loved more than he loved himself. That guy's a hero. That guy's a hero. I got to thinking about it. And I thought, what does it take to be a hero? Now, a lot of the times, the people you see on TV as heroes, they're not really heroes. They're not heroes. What is a hero? What kind of constitution, what kind of mindset, what kind of a person has the potential to be a real, honest to goodness hero? So I have about seven things here that are required to be a hero. Anybody here ever wanted to be a hero? You ever had dreams? Now, I don't know about girls. I don't know what... God knows. I'm 63 years old. I've been married 45 years. And I have no idea what goes on in a woman's head. I'm assuming that something does. But I just don't know what it is. If you're a man, I'll tell you what you cannot do. You cannot think like a woman. You ever hear them say, well, just put yourself in so-and-so's place and think like they think? Don't try that. It won't work. You just can't think like a woman. They're unique. And by the way, I didn't say it was bad, ladies. Y'all just assumed that's what I meant. I'm just saying y'all are different. Amen. They say, put yourself in the other guy's position. Think like they think. Okay, if you want to be a hero, most men have wanted to be a hero. I have a lot of times. I always chicken out, but I always wanted to be. If I can find someplace where I can be a hero and doesn't require any sacrifice, I'm right there. I'm your man. Let me give you seven things that I think are absolutely essential if you want to be a hero. You men, write these down. You ladies can be a hero too. Number one. Before you will ever be a hero, you must of necessity see the desperate situation of somebody else. That cop that saw that little girl, you know what drove him? Her desperate situation. You know what made that husband sacrifice his feet and his hands? the desperate plight of his wife and his children. Until you can see that there's somebody else that really has a need greater than yours. You got to be able to look at folks and see that if you don't intervene, you've got to see how bad their situation is, and it's got to be so bad, it's got to be so desperate that it somehow it moves you to take some kind of action on their behalf. And you won't do that if you don't see them in dire straits. If you don't see them in peril of perishing, you will never be a hero. Number two. That's maybe the shortest message I ever preached. Number two, you must see, if you want to be a hero, not only their desperate situation, you must see that you are their only hope. As long as you think the rescue squad can do it, or the fireman can do it, or the army can do it, or the police department can do it, you'll stand by and be a spectator. Amen. I read a story here a while back. These two little kids was out in a boat fishing. And they managed to turn it over, and both of them went in the water. And they turned the boat upside down, and it sunk. And they couldn't swim. And the little monsters didn't have on life jackets or anything. They're in dire straits. They're gonna drown. And so this guy standing on the bank sees them and hears them, and he is so moved with their dilemma, he jumps in to go out and save them. Forgot he couldn't swim. You got to be a real hero to do that. Amen. I mean, he just got so caught up in it, he knew they was going to die. If he didn't do it, there was nobody else to save them. So he took his best shot at it. Amen. I appreciate the effort. I wasn't too smart, I suppose. But thank God he had the heart for it. Amen. They said, what are you saying? I'm saying you got to realize there ain't nobody else can do it. You're the only one on the scene. The building is on fire, and if you don't get in and get them out, they'll perish. Amen? They're in the water. They've gone down for the third time. The next time, they're not coming up. And there's nobody standing back. The only person can save them is you. You've got to get to that point where you are the only hope they've got to prevent them from perishing forever. You got to see that desperate situation, but then you got to say, there ain't nobody here can do nothing about it but me. I'm it. Man, are they in bad shape? But I'm it. If I don't do it, if I don't play the hero, if I don't put myself at risk, if I don't stick my neck out, they will surely perish. You got to see the desperate situation, but you got to see yourself as the only hope of deliverance that these folks have. Number three, if you want to be a real hero, you must learn not to expect help or understanding from those standing by. You know what happens a lot of times when there's a bad situation and we need a hero? The people on the sideline discourage the heroes. They say, no, don't do that. You can't do that. That's impossible. If you go in there, the building's so far gone, it's going to fall on you. But the hero disregards that. Amen? No, don't jump in there. That water's cold. You'll get hypothermia and you'll pass out before you get halfway to them. They discourage you. They say, it can't be done. It's too risky. You're going to get yourself killed. But the hero just sees the desperate situation and he says, I'm here. I can do something. I've got to at least try to do something. And he puts everything at risk and he takes his shot at it. Amen? You got to learn not to listen to the people on the sidelines who would talk you out of it. If you listen to them, you never will be a hero. You never will put out the fire. You never will save the little girl. You never will get the sinking swimmer. You never will get the little girl out from the burning car. You never will get the fella down off of the cliff. Say, why? Because you listened to everybody else and they said, oh, you can't do that. That can't be done. Wow, that's impossible. Oh, that's too dangerous. You listen to folks like that and you never get it done. You're going to be a hero. You got to see that situation and say, here I am. I can do something. And when folks try to talk you out of it, you just turn them off, tune them out, and do what you got to do. number four. You must not count on or expect any help from the person you're delivering or saving. Guy's in the water. He's drowning. He don't know how to swim. The boat is gone. It's 300 yards to the shore. The water is 50 feet deep. He's choking. He's strangling. You jump in. You're going to be the hero. You're going to swim out to him. People are saying, that's too far. It's too far. You can't make it. You disregard him. You jump in. If I don't help him, he's going to perish. And you jump in and you swim out and you grab hold on. And you know what they do? They choke you. They wrap their arms around your arms. You say, you got to turn me loose. You're going to kill us both. They ain't turning loose of nothing. They're in panic city. They're terrified. You're their lifeline. And boy, they latch on to you and they hold on. And what they do is they kill both of you. You got to learn. You swim out there, and when you get within arm's distance of them, pop them upside the head, take them out, son. Amen. Turn them around backwards. Get your hand under that chin and put it in the crook of your elbow. The chin will catch it, but you don't choke them, and you don't paddle back there. I mean, you save them, amen. But man, you don't expect no help from them. They're not going to be a help. They're going to be a liability. They're not going to be an asset. They're going to be a detriment. They're not going to help you out. They'll ruin you if you don't watch it. You say, but I'm trying to save their life. Without me, they're going to die. Yeah, that's true. But you can't tell them that. They're in a desperate situation and they're just doing whatever they can in their own mind, however ridiculous it is, to try and stay alive. You don't get any help out of the people you're trying to save. Number five. You must totally disregard yourself. That cop, he wasn't thinking about being a hero. He wasn't thinking about surviving. He wasn't, none of those things that we talked about in the past tense was on his mind. That guy was absolutely oblivious to everything except one thing, saving that little girl. That's all he could see. That's all he thought about. If he had thought about that other stuff, I'm sure he'd have checked it out. We all would. I mean, if we look at the situation, it's obvious that it's overwhelming. It's obvious to the most casual observer that it can't be done reasonably, logically. But he got so caught up in it, he didn't worry about him getting burned. He didn't think about his own death or being injured. He was fixed on one thing. And so he totally disregarded himself. Real heroes don't take time to sit back and think about it and analyze it and see if it's going to be good for them or beneficial to them or help them to prosper or to be a blessing to them. They get fixated on a situation where they are the sole possibility of survival. And they block themselves and everything out. They're not worried about what their family's going to say. I mean, it don't compute anymore. They are so caught up in the moment and in the tragedy that what they think about is saving the one that is perishing. And so they disregard themselves. Said, don't you know you could have got burned up? I didn't think about it. Don't you know you could have drowned or they could have pulled you under? I didn't think about it. Don't you know there's a terrible riptide in there? You could have been swept out to sea. I didn't think about it. What was you thinking about? I was thinking about that little girl was going to die. That's all that mattered. You have to totally disregard yourself. Number six. You must use whatever means are at hand. You see, when you're being the hero, when you're being the savior, time to analyze it and categorize it and set up the tools and the equipment that you're going to need. I said, now, you know, in about 2 days, there's going to be a little girl come down here and fall overboard into that strong current, and she's going to get swept down to Ohio. So now here, what we're going to do, she's going to fall overboard up there, and so when she gets right here, we're going to have this one-inch line across there, and we're going to have a life preserver about every 5 or 6 feet. And then we'll have a boat out here with some men in it, and we'll turn them into the current and point them up the river so that when we see that little girl, we can maneuver where she's going to be. So she can catch that rope, and as soon as she catches it, we'll pull that boat and we'll hoist. You ain't got time for all that. You see, this thing about saving, this thing about being a hero, is it's an accident. It happened off schedule. It wasn't predictable. It wasn't foreknown. It just showed up out of nowhere. It just occurred. You weren't looking for it. They weren't looking for it. Nobody was looking for it. So there's no equipment on hand. There's no help available. This thing just happened, and it just happened, you're there. Amen? So if you're going to be the hero, you're going to have to be the hero with whatever's at hand. If there's a branch you can stick out there far enough, glory to God, use the branch. Amen? If there's not, maybe you're going to have to pull your shoes off and jump in and swim. But whatever is available, that cop looked under that truck and saw that car on fire and that mama burning, and he saw an empty fire suit over here, and he grabbed that thing up and stuck it on and dumped water all over him. He just took what was at hand. He wasn't a fireman. He didn't know how that suit worked. He didn't know if he's going to get turned into, you know, you get hot enough, you steam on the inside. He didn't think about it. He just took whatever chance he could. He said, here this is, I'll use this. I'm going in. He used whatever was at hand to get the job done. You know something? Sometimes they get the job done. Sometimes they don't. I wish that I could stand here and say every heroic effort ends with heroic results. But it ain't so. Sometimes we make the heroic effort and we're consumed in effort. It's a failure. Now the man is still a hero. See, even if you fail, you're still a hero because you gave it everything that was required. But you don't, just because you make a heroic effort doesn't mean it's always going to come out like you wanted it to. A lot of times it doesn't. But I tell you what, if you don't make the effort, it never will. See? Somebody's got to try and be the hero, or there never ever will be a hero. So you got to learn to use whatever means are at hand. To be a hero, you must disregard and not be dismayed by obstacles that are in your way. If it was easy, anybody could do it. You say, oh, it's so hard. Of course it's hard. You say, well, there's one chance in a million of getting through that flame, getting in that little pocket, getting that mother out of the way, getting that baby, and getting her up and getting out of there without both of us getting killed. So instead of one little girl being dead, now we got a little girl and a man dead. There's one chance in a million of that. That's a pretty dismay. You say, man, I can't get in this way, and I can't get in that way. And boy, the fire's really boiling up over here, and the metal's starting to get hot. I hear the water on the street sizzling. The asphalt is starting to bubble. You can find a million excuses. There's always an obstacle to doing what needs to be done. You can't let that overwhelm you. You can't let that dismay you. If life was easy, anybody could do it. If being a hero was easy, we'd all be one. Amen? The hero is the fellow who is extraordinary. The fellow who is a man who has got a sense of duty and responsibility and obligation. And he won't just fluff it off. He won't let it pass by. There's a job to be done and nobody else can do it. It's my time. The situation is right, has come up on my watch. And nobody else can pull this off but me. And I either step up or I don't. Dr. Ruttman used to say, a man either does what he's supposed to do or he spends the rest of his life alibiing his way out of it. Here you have an opportunity to be a hero. You're the one and only shot. And if you don't take it, you're going to question yourself and doubt yourself the rest of your life. You're going to say, if I'd only done. You have to live with that. If you take a chance, if you take the shot and you don't make it, you can say, I did all I could. I did all I could. Amen? Now, anybody still want to be a hero? All right, let me tell you something. You say, well, preacher, I'm 30 years old, I'm 40 years old, and I've never seen a plane crash. I never saw a building on fire. I've never seen a little girl drowning. I've never had an opportunity to be a hero. I'd love to be, boy. I'd just give anything. If I could have that self-satisfaction of knowing that somebody was in peril, and I saw it, and I stepped up, and I intervened, and they were saved because I did it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Good. Let me help all of you be a hero. The world is dead in trespasses and sin. Men and women and boys and girls are dying every day without Jesus Christ. They're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Their situation is perilous. If somebody don't step up and intervene, they will perish without God. They will go to a Christless grave. They will have a godless eternity. What we need is some heroes that will look around and see the situation and say, that little boy's going to die. That little girl's going to go to hell. If somebody don't step in, if somebody don't deliver them and bring them to Jesus Christ, they will perish. And you're the only one that can get there. You're going to see some I'll never see. You're going to go places I never go. Some of y'all go places you ought not to go. And you run into people all the time that are unsaved, old men and old women, middle-aged folks, teenagers, little kids, this far from hell. One breath away from eternity. That far from eternal damnation. And there you are. You're on the scene. You're present. There they are in a perilous situation, ready to perish without God forever and ever and ever. And here you are, you're sitting there armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got that knowledge of salvation inside of you. You've got that Holy Spirit that lives in you. You've got that witness from God Almighty. You have supposed to have Holy Spirit boldness. And you see them on the precipice. You see them stepping into the fire, falling off the cliff, plunging into hell. And you can step forward, put yourself at risk, and save some. So, well, they're old drunkards, and she's an old whore, and they're hating the garments spotted by the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. God wants you to be a hero. God wants you to be a savior. You can save some. All you got to do is put yourself at risk. All you have to do is get a burden. All you have to do is see perishing souls. All you have to do is realize, ain't nobody can get to this one but me. This is my shot. It's my turn. This happened on my watch. I've got to step up. Or someday I'll see that same little face stand at the great white throne of judgment. And I'll have to say, I was there that day. I saw you in jeopardy. I saw you this far from the pit of hell. And I turned and walked away. And you perish today because I wouldn't take the time. I wouldn't put myself aside. I wouldn't go the other step. I wouldn't risk anything to save. And those damned eyes, those eyes filled with fear and the horror of the pit of the damned, will look at you and accuse you. You could have been a hero. You could have been a savior. But you're too busy having fun, eating out,
buy nice clothes, live in your own life. Now, and I'm not against any of those things. But sometimes we have to be able to put those things aside and lay those things down and see those that are in danger, those that are in peril, and lay aside the good life that God has given us and put it all at risk to save some. Let's bow. Father, we thank you now for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, it sure would be nice to be a hero. Sure would be nice to be a hero. Sure would be nice to be a hero. Sure would be nice to see some little young'un run up to us at the judgment seat and grab our leg and with tears on their cheek say, "Preacher, Brother Lewis, Brother Henry, I sure am thankful for the day you saw me and took the time to stop and tell me." Everybody else said, "Leave them alone. They just a little young'un. Leave them alone. They just old white trash. Leave them alone. They're too young." But you took the time. And you told me about Jesus. And I got saved. You pulled me from the fires. Thank you. Thank you. You'll always be my hero. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.